because he first loved me.
Amen.
Would ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you this morning. We know that our Lord is able to deliver. It would be our humble prayer that he would indeed deliver us this hour. As we were singing that last song, Just As I Am, I can, as far back as I can remember, I always enjoyed, when my mom would take us to church, I enjoyed singing. It was always such a great comfort. But singing without understanding is one thing.
Right.
But singing, having been blessed of God, to understand what you sing is a totally different matter.
Amen.
And as we were singing that song, and it paints such a picture of who we are if we're blessed to see it. But if they're just words, then that's all they are. They're words to you. But it would be my humble prayer that you do feel what it says, because it is who we are. And we, but we'll never know who we are unless the Lord of glory blesses us to know who we are. We may think all manner of things, but it takes the gentle touch of the Lord our God to open up our hearts and to give us that understanding as to what vile creatures we truly are. That we truly have nothing to offer, nothing to bring.
Just as I am.
We just cling. Cling to that cross and cling to that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for he is indeed our all in all. You know, as we were driving this morning to church, we came by this huge church, and it was such a beautiful sight to see all the people that had walked to church this morning. You know, we can think all the manner of things about what motivated them to come out this morning, but the important thing is that the Lord is praised. You know, even though they may not have an understanding as to what all he has accomplished for them, the ideal that he is praised is a good thing. It is our prayer, dear friends, as we gather this day, that we have been gathered with hearts of praise.
Amen.
And hearts of thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done for us, all that he continues to do for us. He knows your heart. He knows all about us in intimate detail. So we can't hide from him, brethren. So we, it is our prayer as we stand before you that not only you, that would you pray for me, but that we pray for one another, that the Lord of glory might continue to shine his grace down upon us. I'd like to stand before you for just a short while, we trust. We'd love to be preached to myself this morning. I feel a need, to be lifted up. And I would pray that you would just pray that the Lord would just lift this sinner up this morning. And that lifting would be to his glory. Romans 8. Some would say the old Baptist favorite chapter. All of them are my favorite chapters. But Romans 8. I want to go down to verse 32. Of Romans 8. And it reads, he that spare not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spare not his own son.
Amen.
When we consider this day, we know that many in the world today have gathered to celebrate Easter. I think it's a good thing that the Lord has placed upon this country's heart to celebrate such a day. But I think it's a better thing that we as his children are blessed to live that day each and every day of our lives. But when we consider that all that today encompasses, all that we would hope to have in the life to come, but also realizing that we would have no life today on this low ground of sin and sorrow, if it wasn't from that hour, if it wasn't from the Father sending the Son, there would be no joy in this time world, in the life that we live now. You know, we think about that life to come and all that we have been given that hope for. I was reminded this day of all that I have been delivered from in this time world. And if it hadn't been from the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no delivery for us, dear friends. Do we understand that the Father has showered grace down upon us because of His Son? So without the Son, there's no grace. If the Son hadn't come to pay that price for us, it would have never been paid.
Amen.
We would have never entered into that fellowship with the Lord our God. So you see, brethren, when we think about the grace that we live in this hour, I was thinking about a way, way back, a time in the sinner's life. I think I was only about 16 years old. Knew everything that a 16-year-old thinks he knows in this time world. And I was driving down the highway in my so-called cool car. You know, as 16-year-olds, we polish up all these old cars, and we're just on top of the world. Well, this sinner was driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, the world just came tumbling down. And the only thing that I remember is that when this sinner stopped tumbling, I saw this little hole, and I just crawled through it. Well, it was a couple of days later that I was taken to see that cool car that the sinner had been driving in. It was totally smashed. I remember the state trooper coming to my parents' house because, well, he was investigating the accident. So when he saw me come out, walking out,
yeah,
he looked at me. Now, you were not in that car. When I saw this car, brethren, one of my relatives had taken a picture of it. And I don't know what happened to it. It doesn't really matter. But when I was thinking about that this day, and you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that God showers down upon us, the Lord delivered this sinner. Don't ask me how. It doesn't really matter how He did it. Unbeknownst to me what was going on that hour, all I saw was this little hole, which strangely enough, when you saw the picture of the car, you couldn't even see the hole. But the Lord of glory delivers us in this time world. And the images of that all this morning, all different aspects of my life, all through my life, when this sinner didn't even acknowledge in a public way the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't even understand who He was or what He had done. So you see, brethren, when we've been blessed with an understanding as to what the Lord of glory has done for us, there ought to be something different about our conversation in this dying world. You know, we can read words, we can sing words, but I remember a long time as a kid, I was listening to this gospel recording. I think they call it a sermonette because they sort of they sing and talk. But I remember the singer saying that he says, his mom had said something to him. And his mom had said to him, "Son, do you know that you can sing a lie just as easy as you can tell one? You know, brethren, when we think about that, what his mother was saying to him. Brethren, when we lift up our hearts and our voices in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord our God, brethren, that is a serious mess.
Yes, it is.
It is a serious matter. And my humble prayer is that we understand what we're singing. When we're blessed by God to understand those words and to understand the meaning of those words and to understand, brethren, that a mighty price was paid.
Amen.
To give us that liberty to open our mouths in praise to the Lord our God. And that price was his son. It is not a small thing, brethren, that God loved the people in such a manner that he sent his son. And the writer says that he who gave up his son, how should he not give you all things? He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He sent his son from heaven's pure world to ransom a people. And when I think about the droves that were coming out of that church this morning, some walking because the parking lot was so full, they simply just walked to the church house. God's people, brethren, are as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore. And this sinner had a hope of those that we saw that the Lord had touched their hearts. And that, yes, that they were made to rejoice. Oh, maybe not with knowledge and understanding. But they were made to rejoice through the praise of his precious name. To say that I love the Lord. And to understand why we love him.
Amen.
Is a beautiful thing. To say that I love my brethren. And to understand why I love you. Is a marvelous thing. To be able to declare from the top of our lungs that he is Lord. That he is Lord of all.
Amen.
Oh, he's not just your Lord. But he's my Lord. He is my Savior. Not only did he deliver me as a 16-year-old. But he's been delivering me all every day of my life. As I sojourn in this time world. You know, I was thinking about how I met my companion. You know, I was a youngster in the military. This sinner had all manner of thoughts about where I wanted to be and where I did not want to be. And then I did not particularly want to be at that place at that given hour. But yet the Lord suffered that I go there anyway. And lo and behold, who did I meet there? One who has been a blessing to this sinner. You see, brethren, God delivers. We may not understand how he moves in our lives, but I would hope that even without understanding, that we might be blessed to give thanks anyway. Lord, I don't understand any of this, but thank you. Thank you, Father, for all that thou hast done, even though I don't understand it all in its entirety. But though we see through a glass darkly, brethren, oh, one day we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
We shall behold his glory, brethren, and we shall be likened unto him.
Amen.
And we will be able to sing perfect praises. We'll perfectly understand it. We'll know who he is. It won't be just utter chatter in other words. But there will be meaning and there will be power in that. There's a song that we sang. I don't know what is in this book. There's power in the blood. Do we have that? We don't have that in. Yeah. But you know, when we think about the power in that blood, that blood has brought you here this hour. That blood has seen you throughout all of life. That blood has removed the enmity that was between us and the Father. That blood, brethren, paid for the sin debt of all of God's children, enabling God to have an everlasting love for people. He has had that love throughout all of time. He has never ceased to love you, and He never will cease to love you. So let us be glad and rejoice. And the writer goes on to say that, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Amen.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect people? Brethren, we have been delivered into a very special spot. We have been delivered, brethren, out of nature's darkness, but God has justified us. He has sanctified us. He has declared us to be holy and righteous and just in His eyes because of the power in that blood. That blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And brethren, God is perfectly just and perfectly righteous. He's able to love you with an everlasting love because of that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. You see, God has no love for sin at all. But He has a love for people. And it is that justification that allows God to love us with an everlasting love. I know some of those words, we hear them. But I pray to God that He would bless us to understand. What they mean. Do we understand what our lot would be in this time world if it wasn't from that sacrifice of His darling Son? You know, we can sit here, brethren, and say, well, I don't have to worry about that. That's true, you don't. But you see, when we are blessed to reflect upon how it could be, we're better able to appreciate how it truly is. When we're blessed to understand who we truly are, we better appreciate what He has granted and brought us into. We're better able to praise Him with lips of thanksgiving when we understand who we are, brethren. And when this writer declares that who is he that condemneth us? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. We serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
You think about all of the peoples in this world that worship dead idols. Brethren, we serve a risen Savior. He lives. Do you feel His presence in your life? He lives, brethren. He lives within us. Oh, God has given us that earnestness of the Spirit that witnesses with the Spirit of Almighty God. And He says that if we love Him, keep His commandments, and He and the Father will take up abode in us, in our hearts. And we're blessed to feel His manifest presence. We're blessed to understand that He lives within my heart. He lives and directs me. He lives and guides and directs our footsteps, brethren. He delivers us in this time world, and we're blessed to be by Him to look back and to see those things that we have been delivered from. My hope is that those reflections would bring us down on our knees with our voices lifted up to heaven. giving thanks to a merciful God for that which He has delivered us from. I could go on and on in my life where, naturally speaking, you said, well, that sinner should have been dead a long time ago.
Yeah.
But God intervened.
Amen.
And God delivered. God could have just as easily called this sinner home, and heaven would have still been my home, I hope. Because I have the hope this hour. A hope with some understanding. If He had taken me when I was 16. If He loves me today, He loved me when I was 16.
Yes, He did.
Regardless of whether I understood it or not. That is the power and love of Almighty God. It said it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And you know, we think about those intercessions. I am one that is of need of constant interceding. That is just who I am. I need the Lord to constantly intercede in my life to keep the sinner focused and on track and where I need to be. We all are brethren. We're needy.
Amen.
We're needy. We're a needy bunch of lambs. We need a shepherd to guide and direct our footsteps, and praying that guiding would be to His praise and to His glory. You know, brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ, who many in this world today will celebrate, will sing songs similar to the songs that we sang this hour. That we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
He's in the world this day. He will be in this world in a spiritual way until that one sweet day when He comes in triumph in full glory. And this world will be no more. You know, we sit and we think about this world being no more. We can't even imagine what that means. But it would be so sweet this hour if He would bless us to see what it means. John said, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. It would be so sweet if He came this moment that we all could see Him in His full glory, as we meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be in the presence of our Lord. The Lord is merciful, brethren. And the writer goes on, he talks about who can separate us from the love of God. And he goes through a whole litany of things there. And one of the most glorious things that I can think of this moment is that this sinner cannot separate himself from the love of Almighty God.
Amen.
Because surely I would, if I could, as would we all. But it's such a comfort to understand that God has done all things in perfection. He has left nothing to chance. All things that we would hope for, all things that He has promised, He will deliver. God is a merciful God. He deserves our praise. He deserves our adoration. Oh, brethren, let us pray that we praise Him with hearts of understanding. Oh, there's no room for pridefulness when we consider the love of Almighty God. God loves a humble heart, but we cannot make ourselves humble. That too is a work of grace. So pray for one another that the Lord of glory would continue to be merciful to us. You know, we deserve His mercy. Well, I'm not going to say we deserve it. Let me rephrase that. We desire His mercy. We desire it very much. We haven't done anything to deserve anything, but yet we desire it. We desire that He will be merciful to us for His name's sake. It is my humble prayer as I look out amongst each and every one of you that as you have been blessed to gather in this meeting house this hour, that God has blessed you with a heart of understanding. That those lips are lips of praise, that He has blessed you to understand why you're praising. For He has delivered you in a mighty way. And He continues to deliver you each and every moment of your lives. So let us not be foolish and think that we've done anything to deliver ourselves. Let us not be contrite and think that our deliverance has been greater than another's. But God is a just and faithful God. He is a loving God. And He has loved us with an everlasting love. Praise be to His holy and righteous name. Let God be glorified. Let Him be glorified in your hearts, in your conversation, and in all, in your all in all. You see, we're nothing without Him. If you think you're something, my prayer is that He would make you to understand that you're nothing without Him. It sounds like a harsh prayer, but it's needful for us all. It is needful, brethren, that we understand who we are, that we might rightly praise Him as we ought. So pray for one another, that the Lord of glory would continue to be merciful to us in spite of us. And that His name would be indeed as a sweet savor upon our lips. That it would be sweet when we say that, I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
That would be one of the sweetest and warmest and comforting things that would ever come out of our mouths. With hearts of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord our God. Pray for one another. Pray for this lowly one who stands before you. Pray for Brother Gary as he comes up.
Bless your heart. Appreciate it so much, my dear brother. God bless you. Keep me in your prayers.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
We've so much enjoyed the meeting thus far. I feel the Lord has been with us in the song service and the sweet prayer that's been offered and the preaching that's gone before. I do ask that you would just pray for me as I stand before you for just a little while this morning. I'd like to share with you from the scripture, God's word. What a blessing it is to have the word of God before us that we can turn to. It is our guide for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof, correction. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for those things. We thank the Lord He's allowed us to have it. Enjoyed the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. It's always good to hear that wonderful good news again and again. I feel that Brother John has been blessed to share with us some very precious things there. John chapter 20, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to read in your hearing, beginning in verse 19 of John chapter 20. We read here of the day that Jesus rose. It was the first day of the week. And here the crucifixion had occurred. The Lord had died. The disciples all forsook him, fled. He trod the winepress alone. He went to the cross, paid the sin debt, and just as he said he would, he rose again. Yet we find the disciples that had walked with him and had seen his many miracles and seen all that he had done, rather than being there in a state of belief, trusting in what the Lord had done and believing in that and embracing that, we see them in a great state of need. They needed his presence. They needed to feel his presence. They needed to hear from him. They needed to hear the truth of his word. They needed to hear what he had done. He had already done all that was necessary. We believe that, that he had done everything already that was necessary for the salvation of his children. That we don't sing there's power in the blood, but we do sing there's what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that is absolutely the powerful, effectual work of the Lord Jesus Christ in shedding his blood, washed and removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. These disciples were secure as the Lord's chosen people. They were secure as the elect of God. They were secure as far as the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their salvation was firm in what Jesus had done. There wasn't anything they could add to that. Nothing they could do to take from that. Yet rather than believing the report that it even had come from Mary, they heard it as old idols' tales and were in a state of unbelief. And the good thing they were doing in that is they did assemble together. They were together. And brethren, I imagine as we meet here this morning, we meet with all types of thoughts going on. There are some who have lifted up in the Lord, and I know I've gotten, since I've gotten here, I've felt better and better. It's been a refreshing time to sing the songs of Zion together. It's been a refreshing time to greet the children of God. It's been a blessing to see and hear the experiences of Brother John, how the Lord had been with him in his life. And as he talked about those things, I can think of the 16-year-old boy who had his little flashy car, and all the times that I could have been in a car messed up like that I wasn't. Think of all the watch care of the Lord in my life, all that he's done for me, all of his love and mercy that was shown and has been shown and continues to be shown and is yet to be shown to me. And yet sometimes rather than believing and trusting, I'm very much like these disciples were. And over in the book of Hebrews, we read there that there's a sin which does so easily beset us. We're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And as the one said in the scripture, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Unbelief can creep in. And when we meet believing. Of course, we believe in the Lord. If you didn't believe in him, I don't know why you'd come to the house of God. If you didn't, those that come to the Lord must believe that he is. They have to have been given the gift of faith. They have to be born of the Spirit of God and have the fruit of the Spirit of faith. But there are times that you and I are exercising or operating in that faith, but then there are other times that we're not, and then there's times we're kind of mixed. Like, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. We get hit by a trouble or a problem, or something didn't go the way we thought it ought to go, or we prayed for something and it didn't happen, or we're at the wrong place. Don't even know why we're there, and the Lord shows us why we're even there and all that he's doing. I want you to know today, from the Word of God, I declare unto you as God's children, if you indeed are a little child of God, there's never been a time you've been outside of his watch care. From the time you were formed and fashioned in your mother's womb, and every day since that you've ever lived to the moment you die and leave this world, you'll never be outside of his presence. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. And for his children, it's not only his presence, his loving presence. His presence that does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. Is Jesus with me? Yes, he's with me. The walks of my life, the hills, the valleys, the times of great joy and the times of great heartache, the Lord is not changed. He's the same. Jesus, and we're preaching the gospel, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, there are sometimes His presence is so manifest, you can't help but see it. And there's other times it feels like I'm so dark and so cold, I wonder, has He clean gone and left me, and will I ever see Him again? I don't know what it would be like to be one of the disciples who had so many thoughts and what was going to happen and see their master taken. And they fled from Him. And He was crucified on a cross, seemingly in no hope that there would be anything. Although He had said, you can tear this temple down, but I'm going to raise it again. There were those who thought He was talking about the temple at Jerusalem, but He was talking about His own body. And it had been testified in the Old Testament, the doctrine of grace and the message of salvation throughout the Old Testament. It was declared, and yet it had happened, and it had taken place. And rather than being all excited about that, they were gathered here. Gathered in a place with the door shut. Gathered, assembled together in fear and quaking. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now listen, if you get in trouble, the place to go is you find the flock. You gather together with the flock. God's people need the Lord's people. We need the Lord. But where do we find the Lord manifesting His presence? We find it among the footsteps. Find it in the footsteps of the flock. We find it among God's children. We find it where the name of Jesus is declared from the preached word. We find it where the songs of Zion that honor and praise the Lord are sung. We find it when God's children greet one another, and we have a love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And there are times that when we feel so dark and we feel so cold, we might even say, what's the use in me going to church? Listen, brother, that's the time you need to get yourself up and get to the house of God. If you feel cold and dark and lonely in this world, you need to find where the Lord is praised and honored. Sometimes you get to going, well, it's just not like it used to be. Well, listen, life is never going to be just like it used to be. It is like it is. But I'm telling you, there is no place like the house of God. There is no place like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no message like the one coming from God's word that He blesses ministers to preach and teach. There is no place to go. To whom else can we go? There is no other place. There is no other peace. There is no other rest. This is all that the Lord has given us here in this world, and it is our sufficiency. And you may feel like they felt, no doubt. And they shut the door, and there they were hiding for fear of the Jews. And all of a sudden, Jesus came. Doesn't that make the difference? You'd be in a cold, dark place and you could feel His presence. You can be wondering what's going to happen next. And you may not get the answer what's going to happen. I've found the Lord lets us know what we need to know when we need to know it. And other than that, we're just to listen, trust, and obey. Jesus came and stood in the midst. Now there's a promise in God's word in Matthew 18 where two or three are gathered together in my name. I believe that's why we're here this morning. We've gathered together here in His name. We haven't come in the name of the Primitive Baptist. We haven't come in the name of any minister that's today living or in the past is living. We haven't come in the name of, I hope we haven't come in the name of mama, in the name of daddy. We may have done that. But listen, if we have, God forbid that would be the case. Today, we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet to worship Him. We meet to sing to Him, sing praises to Him. We meet to pray to Him. We meet to hear from Him. We want to feel and see His manifest presence. And the promise from the Word of God is where two or three are gathered together. In my name, there I am in the midst. When you're gathering together, you can be stone cold. And when you feel His presence, it warms you up. Now, this is not a worm that happens on the outside and works on the inside. It's a worm that happens on the inside and works out on the outside. Some of God's children want to cover it up, but it shows on their face. It shows in their eyes. It shows in their appearance. And it is not something, listen, it is not something to hide. That light that is in you is not something to shun or walk. Don't walk in unbelief. Walk trusting and depending upon the Lord and leaning upon Him. And he says, and he stood in the midst, and I love these words, and he saith unto them, peace be unto you. I would have been scared to death. See, I had stood by his side, said I'd never leave him, and then I ran. He had gone to the cross. Such kindness, such mercy, such grace being shown to these men that had turned their back on their master. You ever get to feeling like I can't hardly pray now because I've not done what I'm supposed to do? I'm not behaved like I'm supposed to behave. I don't know that he'll have fellowship with me. Can he save? The old hymn writer said, can he save an old sinner like me? The good news from the Word of God, preached as the Lord has told us to preach, is that not only can he, but he will. If you love the Lord, it's because he first loved you. If you desire to walk better, act better, live better, it's because he's given you that want to in your heart. He said, if you call upon him, those who call upon him will not be ashamed. The scripture says that if we ask him and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. And that's a timely forgiveness. Listen, when he died on the cross, he took the sin debt of every one of his children already. As we said, even in their unbelief, they were secure in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, they were a whole lot happier when they were believing than when they were in unbelief. Where are we in this world? We should be trusting him, right? And what kind of mess are you and I in when we stop trusting? Well, we don't want to talk about that. We are to trust in him. Why should we trust in him? Because he's given us every reason to trust. He's never let us down. He's always been there. When you get in trouble, you call upon him. And when are you in trouble? Every day, every hour. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. And then when you ask him what we have asked him for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's according to his will, he'll grant those things in accordance with his own will, and those things we stand in need of, he will supply. He said, peace be unto you. How could peace be unto them? Because of what he had done. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. As you hear the message of grace being declared from the Word of God, does it find a place in your heart where you're just so glad that he could love an old sinner like me? See, under the conviction of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, that is what causes you to see yourself as a sinner. If the preacher preaches to you that you're a sinner, lost and undone, all he will do, if the Lord hadn't touched your heart, is make you angry and mad. You'll want to kill him. You'll want to strike out at him. You'll want to say, no, I'm not that bad. I know a lot of people a whole lot worse than me. But when the Lord has really opened your eyes and touched you in your heart by his grace, you're allowed to see that he's got, that minister has the Word of God, really, as he declares it, has my number. It knows what I am. And you're the laws of God in the new birth are written upon your heart and upon your mind. And they all shall know me, he says, from the least to the greatest. And you already in your heart you're brought under conviction in the sense of seeing what a sinner you are. And then as the preacher preaches it, all of that old grave clothes that kind of we cover up that sometimes in our natural life, where we kind of start thinking we're a little more than we ought to be, a little better than we ought to be. And then the scripture comes and the Lord teaches us what we really are. And we know that already in our heart. You see, it's not your heart that's messed up, it's your head. The preaching of the gospel isn't that which makes the heart right. The heart is made right by God. It's the head that needs to get on track. It's the alignment of where we put all the old man with his deeds, and we put on the new man, which is created in the image of Him that created him, and we're to walk in that newness of life that He's called us unto. And He says, "Then said Jesus to them again, when they saw His hands and His side." And you see, what was so special about His hands and His side is because there were prints of the nails in His hands. There was a place where the spear had gone into His side. And listen, without that, somebody said, why is that so important? Listen, without His shed blood, there'd be no hope for us. If He had not paid the sin debt, we would still owe that debt. But the fact there are nail prints in His side shows that He died there for a people. And those whom He died for, their sins have been removed. And if you have a hope and a trust in Him that is what He's done for you, that doesn't make you His. As these here were not even believing that. They were His, but He gave them peace once they came to see and know and understand that He died for me. Listen, the preacher, when he preaches to you, he doesn't give you life. He just shines a light that the Lord gives him on the life that the Lord's given you, if indeed you have life. And it lets you know about what the Lord did for you. And isn't that good news? Does it make you glad? Does it make you happy? I hope it does. Does He give you, listen, you can feel lost and undone. And when you hear this, it sets you free. You're then not free to go live and do any old thing. You don't want to go do, and you know, somebody said, well, that kind of doctrine will just make you want to go live and do any old thing. The Lord has worked on you, want to. You don't want to. It burdens your heart when you walk contrary to Him. You know, the preacher doesn't have to find you and tell you about it either. You can try to go another way and walk another way and live another way. No, the Lord will call you out. And I have found, and I know you have too, you just don't get by with Him. You can hide from your wife. Don't tell her, but you can't. You can hide from your husband. You can hide from your mama. You can fool your children. There's one we answer to. The one who loves you. The one who is your heavenly Father. The one who gave His very life for you. Who has called you to live your life in service to Him. Much has been given. There's much required. There's a life to be lived to give honor and glory to Him. There's a name to be praised, not only on church on Sunday morning, but every day. We're to take that name of the Lord with us. He has given us gifts and abilities in this world to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. And when we forsake that, listen, there are consequences for us when we forsake that. There are burdens and pitfalls along life's way. And the minister's calling is to declare unto God's children, until you walk in that straight and that narrow path, you follow that in the name of the Lord. It doesn't get you to heaven, but it'll sure make your world here a little heaven. It'll help you have a little heaven here below as you live here in this world. He said the disciples saw this, and immediately they're in great fear. Jesus appeared, and all of a sudden they're glad. You ever see old Baptists get glad? That's a good time when you're having a meeting and you see the whole bunch get glad. They act silly. They act like sometimes like somebody might think they're filled with new wine, like they were on the day of Pentecost. No, just happy in the Lord, loving one another, hugging one another, feeling fellowship and love. Realizing we're nothing, if we're anything at all, but sinners saved by the grace of God. I'm not anything because of what family I was born in. I'll tell you what I inherited from my family. I was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And I can go back and trace my roots right back to my father Adam. And in Adam I died. And as well, you can follow your roots and it'll go right back to Adam. It's not one group came out of somebody else and another group came out of this group. It's all of us came in the natural out of our father Adam. And there was an Adam and there was an Eve. And in Adam we didn't get life. And if we didn't get wisdom, we died. In Adam we died. When Adam sinned, we all fell in a state of death and trespasses and in sin. And we would have remained there had it not been for a Savior who went to Calvary. And if there hadn't been nails in his hands and in his feet and a spear in his side, and the blood that flowed that day was unlike the blood that has ever flowed or ever will flow. It flowed from the hinder seat to the former seat. And it covered the sin debt of every little child of God. And listen, every one of them are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he will not lose one of them. Aren't you thankful for that? Did it make you glad? Get discouraged about a hangnail in this world, do you? And he's going to carry me to heaven. I get worried about my daughter having a physics class, not getting a grade, because I love her. I don't think the grade's that important. I know it troubles her, and that bothers me. I don't want to trouble. Worry about the brethren in the church. Worry about our little churches. Worry about our ministers. Worry about my children. Now worry about my grandchildren. If the Lord allows me to live long enough, probably worry about my great-grandchildren. If I have a memory to know their mind. And then I might not even know who they are. I'm so inept. Listen, I'm in as much need as these disciples. I need him today. I know I'm going to need him tomorrow. As long as I live, I know I'm going to need him. And by the word of God, I'm telling you, he will be there. It's not just that I said it. These disciples had no authority until he breathed on them. They had no authority to say anything until he gave it to them. But he gave them that authority. And those things they remitted are remitted. And those things they retained are retained. They didn't have the power to forgive sins. I can't say, brother, your sins are forgiven based on something I've done. But I can say to you from the word of God that when Jesus died on the cross, he removed the sin debt from his people. And none of them will ever be brought into account for that. What Brother John preached this morning is absolutely the truth. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he's given us that authority to say this. And I need it. I need it now. I need it this moment. That's time salvation, if you want to call it that. I need deliverance now. In the hope of his eternal salvation. Jesus said, peace be unto you. How can I have peace? Because there's nail prints in his hands. He's on his throne. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession. He has given us the Spirit of God. When we meet, we have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And when you gather, whether you're down or whether you're up, you keep among the assembly of the saints. You see, there was one disciple, as you read on a little bit farther, who wasn't there when they met. Brother Thomas, who wasn't there when they met, missed that day. And it cost him 8 days of grieving. Was he secure while he said, I will not believe? Listen, his salvation was secure, eternally speaking, in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, as far as his timely deliverance, he was walking in despair and heartache because he had for 8 days, a whole week, was thinking, my Savior is dead and it's all over. I'll tell you, how would you like that feeling today? Be afraid to live and afraid, even more afraid to die. Would it change the reality of what Jesus has done? Absolutely not. But it sure would change my view of it. And when Thomas was able, by the grace of God, to see, he said, here, Thomas. And notice when Jesus shows up, when you read that, Jesus didn't say, Thomas, what were you saying? What were you thinking? What's going on? Well, he knew exactly. You know why he knew what Thomas was thinking? The same reason he knows what you and I are thinking. He came there because of Thomas's need. Do you believe he will come here today when we meet because of our need? I hope you do. Listen, he will whether you believe it or not. But I would much rather you believe it. It'll be better for you to believe it. And as you believe it, you walk in that belief. And when you get in done, remember, he said for us, In the Hebrew letter, he says, Hebrews chapter 12, before I misquote it, and I'll close with this thought. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we have every reason to believe. We have the scripture to show us. It's wonderful to believe. Everyone has ever trusted the Lord has had the Lord has always come. He has never let one of them down. We have seen that in our lives, have we not? We have seen it in our own experience. We have seen it in brethren, from brethren that have gone home to be with the Lord. We see it throughout the Word. You can read it in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, that those who live by faith and walk by faith were blessed of the Lord. Of course, they couldn't have done it without the Lord. But if He's given you faith, then He says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Is that something for us to do? Yes. And the sin which does so easily beset us, unbelief is that sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And Lord bless you, it's our prayer. Love you, my brother.